Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shit. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows the name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast. Hank Haney and Minnesota Tim Porochka. Minnesota Tim, let's talk about the Century Tournament of Champions. There is a lot of topics to cover. Oh my gosh. What did you think? Did you watch the tournament?
I did watch the tournament, yeah. I didn't see the ending, but I watched
you didn't see the ending.
95% of the tournament.
How do you not watch? Well, that's interesting. You watched 95% of the tournament.
Yep.
And then you don't watch the playoff?
I read about the playoff, so I'm familiar with what happened, but I did not see the final playoff hole.
That's did you feel like you missed anything? Or I mean,
I really don't. I mean, I wasn't that interested in watching a playoff between Harris English and Joaquin Niemann. So
you weren't?
What I did was I was reading about it online, and I figured that I reading about it would be enough for me.
What did you read? What let me hear. I watched it, so let me hear what you read. Let me hear what you perceive to have happened, having not watched it.
Yeah, okay. So they went on the 18th hole. That's the playoff hole. There was one playoff hole. Harris English birdied it. He was about 268 feet away with his third shot. He knocked that within 10 feet, and then he two putted for birdie. Why are you staring at me like that?
No, he did not do that, Tim.
I read that. I read it on Justin Ray's Twitter.
He didn't knock it 10 feet and two putted for birdie.
That's what Justin Ray said.
No, that's not what happened, Tim.
He must have been pulling a fast one on me.
No, in the first time around on the 18th hole, Joaquin Niemann hit it on the front of the green, just short. I was listening on this part on the radio, and then I watched it when I came home too. But
oh, from 268 yards, that's what he meant.
Yeah, okay, there you go. All right, well, yeah. Joaquin Niemann hits it on the front. He played a great round, had a chance to shoot 10 under par, and you know, he's going to get this up and in, no problem, the whole thing, and then he knocks it up there like 5 feet 7 inches. He missed the putt. So now Harris English has a chance to win the term with an eagle, birdie it. He goes into a playoff, hits a great drive, hits a great second shot, a 3-iron, hits it in there like 10 feet. He's got a chance to win, misses the putt. And then they go to the playoff. Harris English drives it down there pretty good. Joaquin Niemann hits it down there great. Niemann hit it more to the right and lower, so it catches a slope. He's got Harris English by 30 yards. Pins on the left. It's the easiest par five you're going to play in this situation, because all you got to do is hit it out to the right of the green, and the ball just comes around and swings down to the pin. It was the second easiest hole on the golf course all day because of the way the wind was blowing. Everybody was getting there in two. It was a simple hole. English hits first because he's way back. Hits the same club he hit the time before, even though he was farther back, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. And it was because he was pretty good amount farther back. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was, you know, a club at least. But maybe he didn't have a 2-iron. Maybe his first iron's a 3-iron. I don't know what his set makeup is. Maybe he didn't want to stand up there with the hybrid. Could be. Could, you know, it makes sense. So he hits a 3-iron, hits a good short of the green, just short of the green. Ball doesn't bounce up. Then Neiman's got the, you know, now he's got the advantage because he's 30 yards up and he can, you know, knock it up there. And he hits this pole low kind of, you know, hook. You know, get up. Don't know if it's going to get over the bunker. Don't know if it's going to get over the, you know, waste area or whatever they call it, penalty area. You know, sugar grass, not good stuff down there. It gets up, it bounces up on the green, but it doesn't stop. It rolls over the green. Now he's in a bad lie over the green. Okay. And then you got, so English hits it up there. He hits first, he putts it from just off the green, and he rolls it a little bit by. He's got about a 8-footer for birdie. Neiman, bad lie, down there, practice swinging. He was just making all these practice swings, trying to recreate the lie, but it was just kind of, I don't know if he was nervous or what. It was a weird look. It was just like taking all these quick practice swings. I couldn't figure out what exactly was happening there. And then he hits it, and it was a tough lie, and he barely gets it on the green. Well, actually, didn't even get it on the green. He got over the hill, but not on the green, so he's just about a foot short of the green. He putts first. There's, you know, we got the caddy commentary going. We got the Bones, and we got the John Wood, his first tournament. And so it's just all caddy talk is the whole thing. Everything is now all about the caddy. We got two caddies out there giving commentary, and you would think that the caddies were playing, right? The caddies, I mean, both these guys bring something to the table, and they're both good. I'm not saying that they're not, but it's just that the amount of caddy talk now is just like the focus has shifted from the players to the caddy. It's Steve Johnson would love it because it's all caddy. It's caddy. Caddy talk. Okay, we'll get into that some more. The caddy talk, but so he hits it up there, and you know, this is a putt he can make. This is a putt, you know, it's at some point when he hits us, it's going to look like it's going in. He's been putted so good today. It's just, you know, he's got this putt, you know, for birdie, and you know, he leaves it a foot and a half short. Okay, so that was, you know, that was what that was. Okay, then he's got a tap in for par. Harris English knocks it in the middle, you know, triple quick fist pump, and he's a winner for the first time in 7 years. And a great comeback story. He was rated something like over 300th in the world like a year ago or whatever. And now he's probably like, I think, going to be top 20, something like that. That's what they said. Yeah. Yep. So anyway, that was it. I have to admit, I watched pretty much all the tournament. I really did.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I watched a lot. I watched all day Saturday. I watched all day Sunday. I caught quite a bit of the first two rounds, and it is pretty over there. Is that where you're going? By the way, is that still on your list? Why are you smiling? Yeah. What do you say? Is that on your list for your honeymoon destinations?
We're thinking about it.
After watching that tournament, did it kind of make you think, hey, let me go over there and do a little surfing?
Yeah, I turned towards Haley. I bumped her. I said, we could be there in about 5 months.
Oh, wow. What'd she say?
Let's go to Montana?
Yeah.
No. She started smiling and said, yeah, I can't wait.
Oh, really? So yeah. You may be going to Hawaii. Would you go to Maui? You don't know where you're going. You don't even know where Hawaii is.
No. Somewhere over the water.
Yeah, you got to go a long way to get there. But Maui's great. The fourth round was windy, and it was fun to watch. So I really did like watching the tournament. I really did. I mean, I thought it was good stuff. There was a lot of controversy. Oh my gosh,
there was a lot of controversy. The one thing that I was disappointed in, and I really think the Century Tournament of Champions is getting screwed over, because when you look at the field this week at the tournament, it's one of the best fields of the year that isn't a major championship. and it's competing against NFL Wild Card Weekend, and nobody's going to watch it. The Century gets screwed with their placement in the schedule, because you look at the leaderboard, Hank, and it almost, if you erase the first few names, Harris English, Joaquin Niemann at the top, it almost looks like a Masters leaderboard. Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, Colin Morikawa, Dustin Johnson, Daniel Berger, all those guys were in the top 10.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts. I think the Century gets screwed over with its placement in the schedule.
They kind of do, but it's a from a company. Now, this is a weird year, but from a company standpoint, what they get out of it is they get to be in Hawaii. They get to bring their, you know, customers and their, you know, company, you know, people, executives or producers, whatever they get to bring them to Hawaii. So that is a big plus. I mean, it's fun for probably any company to entertain their clients at a PGA Tour event, but to be able to entertain them in Hawaii, that's really, really cool. And so I think that has something to do with it. And it's always the same thing with golf. It might not get the biggest audience. Well, it isn't going to get the biggest audience, especially with NFL playoffs going on. It's not going to get a big audience at all. But what it does get is that it gets an audience that advertisers like to be in front of, because it's an affluent audience, and there are people that will spend money on whatever. And that's the way golf's always been. It's a, you know, they don't look as much at the numbers as they look at, who are they getting through to. And I'm sure they have some way of measuring it. I know all the different companies through the years that I've talked to that sponsor PGA Tour events or senior PGA Tour events or whatever. I mean, they have ways to track, you know, how well the money is spent that they spend on these events, how many mentions they get. I mean, that Century gets mentioned a lot because it's Century Tournament of Champions, Century Tournament of Champions. And, you know, it's on the schedule and their name's on the schedule. And, you know, it keeps getting brought up, Century Tournament of Champions. And, this week it was brought up for a lot of reasons, but not all of them were good either. So we'll get into some of that when we come back. We'll be right back on the Hank Haney podcast. Go to haneyuniversity.com if you haven't already. Get your free instructional videos sent to your email box every day just by registering. Absolutely free. haneyuniversity.com. All right, Tim, one little note on the tournament, the Century Tournament of Champions. This was the fifth tournament won so far this year by a player that hadn't won in at least 6 years.
Holy crap.
How about that?
That is unbelievable.
Stewart Cink won Safeway. He won the 2020 Safeway, had not won since the 2009 Open Championship. Okay, how about that? Brian Gay won at Bermuda. He hadn't won since the 2013 American Express. Okay. Martin Laird won at Shriners Hospital Vegas Tournament. He hadn't won since the 2000, I mean, what was it, a long time ago? I mean, was it 3 years? I don't know, 2000 something, but it's a long time. But 2000, Valero Texas Open? I think I wrote that down right.
Martin Laird? Martin Laird? Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah, give me that. When did he win the Valero Texas Open? It was a long time ago. But so he hadn't won since then.
2013.
Okay, 2013. So 7 years. Okay, that's what I thought. And then Robert Streb won the RSM, which he also won the RSM 2014. So he hadn't won that. He hadn't won in 6 years. And then Harris English wins the Century Tournament of Champions, and he hadn't won since 2013. So it's interesting because, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot. And, you know, this one of the big pitches on the whole wraparound, although, you know, the Tournament of Champions is not, you know, wraparound event, but four of these winners came from the wraparound. And you and I have talked about a lot that a big thing that, you know, they like to point out is how, okay, we're going to get young players. We're going to develop young players. We're, you know, giving them opportunities and so on and so forth. And yet five winners so far, you know, this year, which started back at, you know, in the fall for the next year, you know, 2020 and then 2021, there are five of them are, you know, they're really career resurrections is what they have been. And it's interesting. I mean, it really is.
I think you called it the revitalize your career on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, that's what it pretty much has been.
Is there any reasoning to that, Hank? Is that because you think the young players aren't as good as they think they are? Is it because of the experience that you often talk about? What is the reason for the revitalization of careers?
I think that it's one of those deals where, you know, everybody talks about how hard it is to win on the PGA Tour. Okay, when Harris English won, you know, he's very emotional, hadn't won in a long time. You know, he's worked really hard. He's kept a good attitude. You know, it's a good story, great story. Credited his team that he had. Didn't name anybody on the team, but credited his team. Yeah. And, you know, so whoever his team is very excited that they got, well, they didn't get mentioned, but that they almost got mentioned. But they got, they're on the team. Okay.
Yeah. On the team. Yeah. They got paydays.
Let me tell you what, I've been on the team before.
Yeah, okay. What's the team like?
You know, I've been on a lot of teams. Okay. Yeah. And you know what? When you say, I got a great team, I'm really happy with my team.
Yeah.
I'm really, you know, my team has really helped me. And I'm like, come on, spit it out. Throw a name at there. You got the mic. I mean, nobody's taking it away from you. You got them trapped. How many guys you got on this team? What do you got? Three, four guys? What, you know who's on the team? Throw some names out. Boom, 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 boom. That's all you got to do. I mean, it's not that hard.
I can relate to you. And let's be fair here. Yeah. I'm going to be completely honest. It's going to sound like I am just being a gusher here. But you are one of the few hosts, not many hosts do this, that thank their producer every show at the end of the show. Not many people do that. So I'm a part of the team, and you do mention my name, so I'm appreciative of that.
It's an important deal. I mean, what these team members are, you know, these guys, I don't know what these guys all get paid for being on the team. I really don't. But I know that when a guy is 330th in the world, okay? You know, like, honestly, 330th in the world, he's probably not paying his team a whole bunch. Now, I've been on some really good teams. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't get paid a whole bunch for being on a good team. Matter of fact, I got paid very little for being on a good team. I was on the best team, and I didn't get paid much at all. So what really feels good is when somebody mentions, like, your name. Hey, so-and-so helped me, because that, like, helps you to, you know, elevate your career and you know, most importantly, just, you know, hey, you know, I got a little recognition for, you know, working hard and staying loyal and, you know, grinding it out, like you like to say. And all the, anyway, I mean, I know he meant well, but it's not, say it. Say it. I mean, you don't have to go NASCAR, but having said that, I mean, I like, you know, like you look at Bryson DeChambeau, he comes with it. You know, when he gets that microphone, he's going to let it go. He's going to let it rip. Thanks to, you know, this guy, thanks to this guy, thanks to this guy, thanks to this company, thanks to this company. You know, and they do the same thing in NASCAR. And you know what? I'm sure that the TV producers, you know, don't, you know, love it when you start going NASCAR there at the end. But you know what? Who cares? Who cares what they think? You got the mic. You won the tournament. You can say whatever you want. Throw it out. Give him some names. Give the guy a little credit. Give your coach a little credit. Give your trainer a little credit. Give your mental game coach a little credit. What's the matter with that? Give your company a little credit. Somebody stood by you when you know, somebody kept selling you clubs when you couldn't hit them worth a crap. No, it's because they were sending them to you for free. Somebody was kept sending you golf balls when you're hitting them all in the bushes. You know, I'm not criticizing Harris English. I'm just saying this is everybody. This is just, it's unbelievable. Say the guy's name. What's the matter with it? What's wrong with that? I don't think, you know, I mean, spit it out. Come on, spit it out. All right. Well, somebody that spit something out and it didn't come out very good was Justin Thomas. So let's talk about that next. Everybody remember to get your Voodoo Pain Relief Cream for free 2-week supply. VoodooPainRelief.com. If you've got aches and pains, arthritis pain, back, shoulder, hip, knee, whatever it is, try it. The product's great. It works. The testimonials are off the charts. You can check them out yourself at VoodooPainRelief.com, and you can try it for free. So go to VoodooPainRelief.com right away. All right, we'll be right back. All right, Tim, one of my favorite players got in a little bit of, well, not a little trouble. He got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Justin Thomas. We love Justin Thomas, too. I mean, I still love Justin Thomas. You know, hey, things happen. People say things, you know, they do stuff. I mean, he made a bad mistake.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Did you see it when it happened?
I saw the replay of it. I did not see it live, but I watched the replay a few times on social media. And it's not super loud. I've heard swear words louder, but of course, the word that he said is more inappropriate than a curse word, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was not good. And... But he came with an F-bomb before that, too, which was, you know, not good. And he's come with quite a few of those. I don't know. I mean, you don't know what the PGA Tour does, because they don't tell you when somebody gets fined or when somebody, you know, I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, I mean, that's pretty bad what he just said, you know, and I'm like, I wonder if he's going to get fired. You know, that's what I was thinking. Well, I guess he can't get fired. He's an independent contractor. And then I thought, I wonder if he's going to get suspended.
He'll get fined for sure.
Yeah. We don't know what he'll get fined, though. You think fines matter to pros?
I mean, Justin Thomas has made millions and millions and millions of dollars. I don't think $10,000 is very much.
Well, we don't even know what they get fined. Nobody knows what they really get fined. And I mean, whatever, what could they fine? I mean, like if you fine somebody like $1 million, well, you couldn't do fine $1 million, because there's some guys on tour that, you know, don't make hardly any money. So you have to, whatever fine you have has to be equitable to everybody who plays, a guy that hasn't made a cut all year and a guy that's won 4 tournaments. So you can't, the fine can't be that high. It's probably, I wonder if it even is $10,000. I mean, or wonder if there's a, you know, like you add it up, you know, every time you get fined, it multiplies and you get more of a fine next time. I don't know. But I think the point is that there's no fine that bothers these players. It doesn't seem to me.
No.
I mean, because, I mean, they keep F-bombing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and this was way worse because, you know, it was a slur and, you know, everybody just goes crazy and, you know, that's just the world we live in now. I mean, it's just the way it is. There's a few people I noticed on social media that, you know, kind of defended him, at least said, you know, hey, the guy apologized, but I don't know. It's pretty hard. It's hard to get out from underneath that. Obviously, it affected him. He said it did because they interviewed him again after Sunday's round. The one thing, you know, the more they talk, when you know, like when you when something like that happens, I don't know. It seems like the more they talk, the just like the deeper the hole gets. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, what are you supposed to say in that situation? No matter what, eyes are on you, and you only can really say one thing. I mean, anytime someone's in this situation, the same quote is uttered over and over again. You could just literally pass the quote on to someone else.
Yeah.
It says, we're going to learn and grow from this situation and become a better person. And that's exactly what Justin Thomas said.
And he did. He said that.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, they got bent out of shape about something he said in the apology, you know, that, you know, it's just, kind of, you know, that's just kind of the way it is. I mean, I just like, no matter what you say, there's nothing you can say. Mm-hmm. I mean, what can you say? You know, I mean, because everybody automatically thinks, well, you know, you're saying that because you got caught, or you're saying that because you, you know, there's just really nothing you can do. I mean, it just, I don't know, you're better off just keeping it short and sweet. And of course, you know, I mean, you know, I've been in this situation. It's not a good, you know, even though, you know, I mean, it's a totally different situation, but, you know, things happen. And, you know, I don't know. And then the second, on Sunday, he said, you know, he said something on his apology on Sunday. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not making excuses for him. So I don't like, you know, I feel bad for anybody going through that. Cause I think Justin Thomas is a, you know, good person. We obviously like his dad, Mike, and, you know, he's coming off the ultimate high with the father, son, and him and his dad winning that deal. And then you got this, you got, you know, this is a, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a, you know, career changer or whatever, but I don't know. I don't think it is in terms of his golf. I don't know. It may be in terms of his, what do you think is going to happen with his like endorsements and stuff like that?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, you would think, oh, of course, the endorsements are going to talk to him. I mean, I can guarantee you that his agent is making phone calls and has been making phone calls all day Sunday. And then his agent's relaying information to Justin Thomas. That's typically how it works. And then, yeah, I mean, the benefit that Justin Thomas has is that he's the number three player in the world. Whereas,
yeah, why should that matter?
It just does. I don't know.
It definitely does.
If Justin Thomas was the 85th player in the world, whoever that is, I don't know. Do you really think that endorsement companies would stay with that player? No, of course they wouldn't.
Well, I'll give you an example. That Scott Piercy tweeted something.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, Scott
Piercy.
This was a year ago or whatever.
And then he tweeted something. I don't know exactly what happened, but he tweeted something, and then he might have retweeted something. I don't know. Anyway, he lost sponsors, got fined, the whole deal. And it was you know, more of a homophobic meme
directed at a Democratic presidential candidate. So he shared that on social media, and he lost two endorsement deals.
All right. Do you think Justin Thomas will lose them?
Ooh, that's a good question. I I could see either way, honestly. I don't think he will, but I could see it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably still get the benefit. Like, okay, he's got Polo on his shirt. He's got Titleist on his hat. You know, and he's got I don't know what kind of bag he's got. I think he's got a Titleist bag. I don't know. Okay. He's lost fans. There's no doubt about that. They're still getting impressions, which is one thing they pay for, is like impression, meaning that every time somebody sees your hat, you're getting an impression. Every time somebody sees that logo, you're getting an impression. You're still getting impressions. The company, I guess, has to look and say, you know, is this negative on us, you know, to the fact that it's going to override all the impressions that he gives us? You know, that, and that's a, you know, one question. The other thing is, you know, maybe they just like keep him, but you know, his negotiating power goes way down. I don't, you know, one of the things that's interesting when you look at that, you know, you remember, well, you know, when the whole thing went down with Kuchar and his caddy, and that was, you know, Kuchar, all he did was just like, you know, not pay the caddy what people, some people thought he should. I mean, he, you know, a deal's a deal. He made a deal with the guy and paid him what he said he was going to pay him. And then everybody went crazy that he didn't pay him enough. And, you know, it was pretty cheap, you know, but still, a deal's a deal. That was his thought. And that's what he said he was going to pay him, and he paid him. But you know, that it's interesting because he was like the face of Skechers, Kuchar was. And ever since that happened, he's never been on another Skechers commercial. I mean, that was, you know, so when people think, well, you know, it's not, you know, not the big deal. Well, I guarantee you, whatever his Skechers deal is, when it's up, if it gets renewed, it's not going to get renewed at the level that it was renewed. But I don't know what's going to happen to Justin Thomas. It's going to be. It's going to be interesting to follow. I was thinking about what I was going to say on the subject, and I just don't. I mean, it's just, it's bad he said it. You know, it's just not good. And I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make you feel good about, you know, a lot of different levels.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know he feels bad, but. I mean, how does something like that just come out of your mouth?
Yeah, that's the question. That's what a lot of people are questioning with in regards to Justin Thomas, because some of the quotes he was talking about after it happened, he said that he didn't even realize that he said it after the round. He had to be told by someone that he said it, and then he had to be told by someone that the TV mics picked it up. So a lot of people are going to question, how many times has Justin Thomas uttered something like this without even realizing he says it? If he's in the heat of the moment and he said it without even realizing he said it, well, isn't that even worse than saying it and knowing you're saying it? Or I don't know. It's
tough. A good point.
It's tough.
That's a good point. And why do these touring pros, I mean, what don't they understand? There's no crowds. There's, you know, nobody there to filter you it out. And what is it? What is it that you don't understand about the fact that there's mics out there?
Right.
I mean, what's the deal? I mean, why do they, why are guys doing this? Not just the slur deal, but just the you know, all the swearing. Why can't the tour get it under control? I mean, how can they not control the players? Why are they having these problems with these open mics? That's another question. You know, I mean, I don't understand it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they're independent contract, but you know, they whatever disciplinary deal they have, it's clearly doesn't work, I think. But that's my opinion. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it works. I mean, and you know, a lot of people were like, you know, he shouldn't be playing the next day. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I'm glad I'm not the one making those decisions. But whatever it is they're doing, it just seems like there's a lot of they got a lot of issues with these open mics. What are they hoping to hear that's going to be positive or entertaining with the mic being open? And the guy's hitting a 5-foot putt. What positive can come out of that?
Probably just exchanges between player and player and player and caddy. I mean, that's all.
Okay,
you can really
think. Guy makes a 5-foot putt. is, you know, the best you're going to get out of the caddy is good putt.
Yeah.
The best you're going to get out of the player is, you know, yeah or thanks. You know, he's not going to say, man, that was a, oh man, I really needed that one. That one was awesome. That one, you know, I hit that putt so good. You know, he's going to come with something, you know, like, you know, yeah, I fucking better make that thing after hitting that first putt so crappy or shitty or whatever. He's going to, you know, I just don't see how there's anything. What kind of conversation is going to happen that's going to be good? I'm not blaming, you know, the TV for being there. Justin Thomas said it. I just don't get, I mean, the tour controls everything. You know, that's their deal. Why do they have those mics open there so you can hear the ball drop in the cup? Or what is it? I mean, what is it that's like so good or entertaining that could possibly come out of this somebody's mouth at that point? I mean, if he misses it, you know, he's, you know, what's he going to say? He could be sarcastic and say, nice putt, or another miss. God, you're having a, you know, great day. I mean, what's he going to say? You know, he's not going to miss a putt and say, oh, I'll get it back next hole. There's nothing he's going to say that could possibly be any good. I don't know. I don't know why they have the mics there. But I mean, it's not defending him bad, but he knows they have the mics there. The tour knows they have the mics there. You know, I don't know. Boy, oh boy. I don't know. I just, you know, he did own up to it. You got to, you know, I felt like he, you know, and even though he got criticized, I don't know what else he could have done other than he did, but it's a bad situation. I'm sure we haven't heard the end of it. I don't know. You got anything else to add on that?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Just, it's not a good thing, is it?
No, it's not easy to talk about either.
I know. And they you know, if they have it, like, I mean, if they had all the mics on the basketball floor or the football field and where you could hear every player talking, I mean, it wouldn't be pretty, would it?
No, it wouldn't. And on NBA broadcast, they have a sensor where a swear word comes and it immediately gets blocked out a lot of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why don't they do that in golf?
Good question.
Huh. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it some more. It's too bad. Too bad on so many fronts. Just not a good situation. But anyway, something we had to talk about. Tim, appreciate it. Appreciate you being with me.
It's good to be on the team, Hank.
That's the Minnesota Tim Perochka. But you can find him on Twitter at Tim Perochka. And you can find me at Twitter at Hank Haney. Email your questions to HankHaneyGolf@outlook.com. Remember, Voodoo Pain Relief Cream and HaneyUniversity.com. Two free offers there. My instructional videos at HaneyUniversity.com and the free two-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream at VoodooPainRelief.com. But make sure you hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app if you haven't already so that we show up every day with the Hank Haney Podcast. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.